I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
On the radio 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock, the iHeart app for the podcast, John and Ken on Demand. You could hear what you missed today.
All right. Well, what you missed, but we're about to review it again here for a couple of minutes, is that the human trafficking bill that was the work of State Senator Shannon Grove, a Republican from Bakersfield, has made it past the Assembly Appropriations Committee. She puts it with minor amendments. We hope to have her on the show before we go off the air at 4 o'clock. But she seems happy about it. What's going to happen next? It's going to be heard by the full assembly for a vote sometime before they adjourn for the year on September 14th. So we had some concerns about this Appropriations Committee, but they did allow it to be voted on. And it already passed the state Senate. So if it passes the assembly, it'll then move on to dippity-doo, Governor Gavin Newsom.
It'll greatly strengthen the prison terms for guys who sell children. For sex.
Yes.
I don't know how.
Considered a serious offense, and the word serious is important when it comes to the possible punishments.
I don't know how this became controversial. Only in this sicko era that we live in.
Another bill, sadly, that did also make its way out of this Appropriations Committee in the Assembly and on its way to a vote is Senate Bill 94. We've mentioned it a few times. In fact, we threw the author in the dumpster a couple of months ago, Dave Cortese. This would allow murderers, even if they got the death penalty or life in prison without the possibility of parole, a chance for freedom. Hard to believe. There are some caveats to it. The offense has to have occurred before June 5th of 1990. And you have to have served at least 25 years. We've mentioned this before. There are some, including the L.A. County D.A. George Gascon, who think that 25 years is enough for any crime you've committed.
Right.
It's enough time. That's it.
The San Jose Mercury News had an example today. We had a woman who in 1982 was trying desperately to leave her abusive husband. He broke into their home near Monterey and poured gasoline all over her and set her on fire, leaving their children to die with her in the flames. And it's possible a guy like that could be released. That is so sick. Doesn't it make you furious? And I don't know who this David Cortese is, but he's a Democrat from San Jose. And this bill he wrote would let a guy like that out? It makes you want to throw up, doesn't it?
We're going to talk about this now with a man who's been on our show several times, and he's in the state assembly. His name is Bill Esalie from the Inland Empire, and he also was a prosecutor. He was once an assistant United States attorney, as well as a Riverside County deputy DA. So let's bring him on the air to talk about this sad bill making its way through the legislature.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm good. And I just have to say, I got the treat to visit your studios last Friday and say hi to Deborah Mark in person. That was a treat.
It was very nice meeting you as well.
It was, yes.
Well, I didn't realize that we were giving tours to legislators.
No, I wasn't the one that was giving the tour.
No.
Well, Bill, is this as bad as it seems?
It's worse because think about this. In all these cases, as a prosecutor, these are the worst of the worst cases. We're not talking about your regular murder. This has to be a special circumstance, meaning you've killed more than one, you've tortured with the murder. There has to be something particularly heinous about it in order to qualify. And remember, it's always the decision of either the DA or the jury whether they want to seek death or life without possibility of parole. Now, every time they make the argument for life without parole, what do they say? What do they tell the jury? They say, you don't need to kill him, just give him LWOP because they'll never see the light of day.
Yes.
It's okay, you don't have to kill them.
Yes.
That's what they do. This is the ultimate bait and switch. And now they want to let them out after they made that promise to the family and that jury. It's unacceptable.
Do we know how many people could qualify under this?
I don't have the number, but look, let's work this backwards, right? What is their whole goal here? It's to empty the prisons, right? We've already let half the people out of prison. Who's left in there? It's the worst of the worst. So this is just the next phase in that process. Now, that Senator Cortese, I don't even know who he is, honestly, he didn't write that. You know who writes this? It's these groups. It's ARC. It's your buddy Esteban Nunes. He writes this. They're the sponsors of the bill. The sponsors write the bill. So it's the same people behind all of these anti-public safety initiatives. They're the ones behind the scenes. They're the ones pulling the strings. They're the ones writing these bills. Now,
shouldn't Cortese know enough to read the bill and realize this would empty out potentially every murderer?
Of course he knows that, but he's not the one driving it. And he's just a useful person for them.
Useful idiot.
Yeah, you could switch him out. You could switch him out for one of the other, 100 Democrats they have there. It doesn't really matter. It's not him. It's these groups that are behind the scenes writing these bills, and they use, whatever legislator at the moment fits, fits with them, and they'll drive the bill. That's how it works up here.
And this will be incremental. Don't you believe that what they'll do next? Right now they have this 25-year thing and the murder has to occur before June of 1990, but they'll just expand that if this succeeds.
Yeah. So now artificially we've decided that 25 years is enough, right? No one should serve more than 25 years. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Okay, well, in 5 years, maybe it's 20 years. And then 15. It's just, we have to hold the line on this. This is not... We should not be negotiating with these people. This is an absolute no.
This overrules death sentences?
It was originally written to overrule death sentences, but I don't think they had the votes for that. So now it's just focused on those who are in with life without the possibility of parole, who are just as bad. And
like you said, that was the compromise so that a jury would give the toughest sentence possible. And in order to avoid people who object to the death penalty, it's like, okay, life without parole. At least he never gets out. And you're right. That is the promise. That should be ironclad. That there should be no way to chip at that promise. Life without parole means that. That was the deal everybody made.
So here's what we have to do, because they always talk about these in the abstract. We have to bring it back to the concrete, like you did talking about that story. So what I want us to do is when this comes to the floor, I want every one of us to stand up and tell the story of a particular victim who is impacted by one of the people that's going to get released by this. They need to hear what kind of animals are being released because of this bill. These are bad people. They cannot be out on the streets again. If you killed more than one person or you tortured somebody, you do not deserve to live for free. You forfeit that when you take somebody else's life, particularly under these cases.
No, definitely.
I mean, we've seen it all the last few years, but this is really shocking that virtually every murderer that gets life without parole will eventually be able to, because, they'll have a rolling deadline. Right now it's 1990. But after 5 years, they say, well, we're going to roll it up to 1995, and then 2000, then 2005, so that everybody gets out.
Well, I want you to note how the legislature works. So they wrote it to include death penalty. They probably took a whip count. They said, we don't have enough Democrats to get death. Okay, we'll do LWOP this year. Right? It's always, they're always incrementally moving it in one direction. And so next year they might bring the death penalty. So at some point we have to draw the line in the sand and say, no, no more of this nonsense, criminal justice reform, whatever. We're done. It's time to get tough on crime again. We got people looting Nordstrom's in Home Depot. We've got people committing crime. Gaston won't charge anyone. This is a culture of crime we've developed in California. There is no more fear. The criminals do not fear the system. They do not fear law enforcement. And it's emboldening them.
And these legislators, these legislators don't care how violent our society comes and how frightening it is. It doesn't matter to them at all, huh?
They live in a bubble in Sacramento. They're surrounded by these lobbyists and these woke groups that thank them and applaud them and award them for leading the criminal justice reform. And when you try to talk to them or bring up the victims in their communities, like when I talked to Mia Bonta on public safety about all the victims being gunned down in her community who are mostly Black, they get mad. They get mad at you because it's inconvenient. They don't want to hear it. This is almost like a cult or a religion to these people. It's the only way to explain it. And there is no talking or reasoning with them.
It is.
They must be thrown out of office.
No, they do have the characteristics of like a death cult, because one thing that's very common in cults is they don't tolerate criticism from outsiders. And they get very angry and very defensive, and they completely shut down because the cult and the cult leaders cannot be criticized or embarrassed in any way. And so they have this weird emotional reaction. There's nobody in this crowd that sits down and has a discussion, because their ideas would not survive a discussion.
They would not. And really, that's why the public is so important, because it's when the public starts speaking up and making noise. That's the only time they get a little bit worried, like you saw with SB 14 there and the governor wanting to run for president. That's the only thing that's mitigating things up here right now.
You think Newsom signs this while he's planning to run for president? He's going to
bill that releases murderers? Yeah.
I don't think so, to be honest. Not if he wants to be president.
All right, Bill, thank you so much for sharing the Sacramento insights into this madness. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
All right. That's Republican Assemblyman Bill Esalie from Riverside County. And he's updating us on Senate Bill 94, which would release murderers, even if they got life without parole, as long as they meet certain requirements under the bill for their release. And like we said, this is incremental. They'll come back after this, quote, succeeds by emptying out some more prisoners. They'll come back and change the requirements so even more murderers can be released. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio 1 till 4, and then tonight, this weekend, listen to John and Ken on demand, the podcast.
Yeah, make it a big celebration. Listen back to the whole week.
That's right. You can do it all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Thank you.
Take us to the beach, wherever you go. In 1 hour, we will have Moistline folks here for you. Groups of people, gangs. They will show up at 3:20 at the end of the show, 3:50, as we do every Friday, pretty much, here on the John and Ken Show. We're beginning to see, and it's not talked about much anymore, is it? The Hollywood actors and writers strike? Don't hear much.
What is there to say?
I guess if they're not talking and they're not getting anywhere near an agreement, you're right. There isn't much to say.
They're picketing every day.
17,000 jobs in August were lost in the motion picture and sound recording industries. That'll give you an idea of the impact on Hollywood of this strike. 17,000 jobs, a decrease.
What I read is the top executives of these companies are fighting amongst each other.
Oh.
Because some want to give in, I guess, more than others.
They are called the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. And you're right, they represent the major studios like Netflix, Disney, Amazon. And I guess there's no talks going on right now.
Guys like Bob Iger, who runs Disney. It's the executives who run all the big entertainment companies that cover movies, TV, streaming, broadcast. Wow. And they're not united as to what to do. And then they have a set of negotiators that show up. And the writers apparently are much more unified.
The writers went out in May.
And the
actors in mid-July.
Yeah.
So you're looking May. That's more than 3 months they've been out now.
You know, I read somebody described it for the actors' writer's side. They said, look, the rules regarding streaming have to change. Streaming is going to be around forever. So if we don't change it now, it's never going to happen. It's not just going to cost us money for this contract. It'll cost us money for all the contracts to the end of our lives. You know, they have to draw a line right now because at the moment they're not getting much for streaming, and the companies won't release the ratings, how big the audience is for these shows. They're not getting an accounting for how they value each of these shows.
I guess we're going to see who blinks first, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, the studios are going to run out of fresh material. Right, in terms of movies and streaming shows they can release because nobody's working to make new ones. So I'm sure there's a backlog of stuff that was already produced that they're still putting out, but eventually that's going to hit a wall. So how much is that going to hurt them versus how long these people can stay without work, the writers and the actors?
The people are without work immediately. The studios, the pipeline will dry up sometime in 2024.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Next year is probably when they're going to start. So they may sit on this for another 4 months at least.
Yeah, because they can. They can afford to. Of course, then they end up with a big gap down the road. Then all the stuff that's not being made now, there's going to be a bald spot in the schedule a year from now.
They could try and get international shows. They're not in the same union.
That's what Netflix said. Netflix said we're turning to international material.
Yeah, they've been making exceptions, too, to allow some of the actors because there are some production outfits that are not covered by this alliance of motion picture and television producers contract. So they're allowing those productions to proceed with the actors in them. But these are the big players. I mean, this covers a huge percentage of the entire market. They're also saying that California's overall economy has lost $3 billion so far from these strikes. When you add up all the sectors that are involved in it, of course, and all the money that's spent around these movie and TV and other productions, $3 billion. All right, when we come back, well, we got two stories from the wonderful world of college and academics. Number one is Caltech. Again, if you want to pursue equity, sometimes you have to drop the standards, and that's what they did. It's a bit of a jaw dropper because that's a pretty well-respected institution, Caltech. The other concerns a UC Riverside professor and a term that I never heard before, but I just find very amusing, and apparently she's been forced to resign. We'll tell you all this coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the podcast
would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, the news came down later in the show yesterday that the California Public Utilities Commission okayed putting even more natural gas in Aliso Canyon. If you remember back in 2015, the facility, which is owned by SoCalGas, had a big leak that went on for months. Residents there banded together. They'd had enough. They wanted it shut down. Well, Jerry Brown indicated support. Even Gavin Newsom, who became governor in 2019, indicated support for shutting down the gas fields. The vote yesterday by the Public Utility Commission has actually increased the gas that will be stored at this facility. So it's kind of the opposite of what people wanted that live in the area.
He promised to shut it down, and he lied to all the people who live in the Porta Ranch area. He just flat out lied.
So we're going to talk to one of them coming up after the news at 3 o'clock to get the reaction to this, because it's got to be quite disappointing when the least you would want is for, well, maybe while it doesn't close, it'll have a little less natural gas in the future, but now they're going to add capacity. So we'll get into that in about 30
minutes. Because he wants to be president and he can't afford an electricity blackout. And he made promises that there's no way he can follow through on.
Very good. And you explain that to our guest, because that's what it is. It's the name of politics, right? He doesn't want blackouts. It'll be a horrible dent in his record when he's running next year, because I'm now of the belief that Joe Biden is going to step aside. Mm-hmm. I just believe that's going to happen. I think he's tired of this.
I want to read.
Old. He got his one term. I think he's done.
I want to read that book that's coming out. I think it's coming out on the 5th.
Yes, the book about his first couple of years, and some of the excerpts sound juicy.
Franklin Foer is the writer's name.
Did you hear the one where, I'm tired of being treated like a toddler?
Yeah.
Biden apparently had some sort of a breakdown, a meltdown over.
If you're being treated like a toddler, it's because you're acting like a toddler.
Because you're in the phase of dementia and you need extra care. Just talk to Mitch McConnell. All right, so it's one of John's favorite words, and it really only came about in 2020. Anybody know the dreaded E word? The E word. Equity.
Well,
Caltech.
Worst concept I've ever heard of in my life.
So the idea behind equity is do whatever you have to do to give people that have fallen behind the chance to catch up, or just literally catch up. Doesn't matter. So Caltech has decided that it will drop admission requirements for calculus, physics, and chemistry courses for students. Students who, quote, don't have access to them and offer alternative paths to prove mastery of the material. Would that be like an entrance exam or something?
I don't know, but Caltech exists because of people who are brilliant at calculus, chemistry, and physics. This is one of the most well-respected science and technological universities in the nation.
But it doesn't have enough women and people of color. So therefore, as it says in the Times, they're stepping up efforts to diversify.
One day, and I think most people know this, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the sex is, and it doesn't matter what the race is or the ethnicity. It doesn't matter. All you want are the people who can perform the best.
Right.
That's it. And for Caltech, the people who graduate Caltech go to the most prestigious companies or work in the most difficult government operations that require their expertise and talent. And if you're no good, you're not going to get hired. You're not going to do any good for anyone. You'll end up just cast aside at some point in your life. You don't belong there. If you don't have the goods, you don't belong in this realm.
It only has a 3% admission rate, 46 Nobel laureates. And, of course, they do a lot of research in earthquake engineering, geochemistry, quantum information, and aerospace.
Right. So now you're going to have people who probably can't even spell those concepts trying to get into the into the university. It's preposterous. It's embarrassing. No. You wouldn't say that about sports, would you?
In order to diversify, you have to let people who can't shoot a basket?
Exactly. Or who can't hit a baseball. Or who can't throw a football 50 yards. You wouldn't ever consider that. Why? There's not enough this or that. Or it's like, what? You have to be good at this sport. You have to excel in order to, your team wins. What are you crazy? See, that's the thing. In sports, nobody would ever consider this. But somehow, in calculus, chemistry, and physics of all things, they must be insane now. This is where it's gone from beyond a cult into insanity, this equity garbage.
I remember when Donald Trump famously called somebody Pocahontas? That was Elizabeth Warren, the
right.
Senator from Massachusetts.
When she was faking having Native American
heritage,
yes.
We finally have a UC Riverside professor who, after 15 years, has finally agreed to resign her position. There has been complaints for that long a time about her faking her Cherokee heritage. And the term that they use for people who do this is a pretendian. You like that? I like that one. A pretendian.
I never heard that term.
They're like a pretend Indian? A pretendian?
A pretendian.
Yes. her name...
I didn't think of it that way.
...is Andrea Smith. She will continue her employment as a full-time faculty member until August of next year, and then she can get full-time retirement benefits and the honorary title of emeritus. I guess they had to negotiate this with her.
She gets
but a bunch of faculty members have been complaining about this for a long time that she's faking this.
Well, according to one journalist, Jacqueline Keeler, the world of academia has become a breeding ground for these fake people falsely claiming indigenous identity because it gives them all kinds of professional benefits. You get hired.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it helps you politically. It helps you make money because you'll be on a fast track to tenure.
Right.
So because this is what you do. When you give an arbitrary benefit to the random nature of your ethnicity, well, of course, others are going to say, it's like, you know what? I want that ethnicity. And with claiming you're indigenous, nobody can really tell visually whether you are or you're not. And I mentioned
sometimes the genetic records are probably not so easy to
no they're not going to demand a DNA sample. They're not going to run you through get your DNA and run it through ancestry.com or 23andme. So they're relying on your honesty. Well, people by nature are very dishonest when they're ambitious and they want some kind of gain.
She hired a guy back in the 1990s named Dave Cornsilk, a retired genealogist and a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, to research her genealogy on both her mother's and father's side. He found no trace of Cherokee ancestry in her entire bloodline.
But she faked it. Her name is Smith.
In fact, this has been reported in the New York Times. The New York Times Magazine did a story on it, too. Well, they did a story, I guess, on people who faked their...
This was Elizabeth Warren's scam. Okay.
Yes, I know.
And you get hired this way because the stupid administrators at these universities bought into this equity nonsense and they're hiring people based on what they say their ethnicity is. You know, it's a little harder to do that with race, but people try anyway.
Yeah,
you can always
impressive.
Claim a fractional component.
And you like to show the world, look at our staff. We even have indigenous Native American people here.
Except normal people don't care about that stuff. What normal people care about is do you know your subject matter? Can you teach it well?
All right. We got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. iHeartRadio app.
This equity thing will collapse.
I hope.
That's another thing that's gonna die. John and Ken.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, well, we were able to get State Senator Shannon Grove to come on at 3:05, so we're shifting things around a little. She, of course, will talk about her Senate Bill 14, the one that's going to more harshly punish the child sex traffickers. It got out of the Appropriations Committee in the State Assembly today, which means it will be up for a full vote. It already passed the State Senate, so it's that much closer to becoming law, and then there would be dippity-doo signing.
I'm going to pour the champagne. What?
Where did you get that?
Shannon left me this bottle of champagne.
Oh.
She only drank 3/4 of it. So there was
he a little, sounds thirsty.
And I'm going to have a swig after Shannon Grove tells us that she's happy with the bill progressing and that there are no secret killer amendments in it.
Poison pills.
Poison pills, exactly.
Yeah, there were some amendments. She's calling them minor. We'll find out what those were. And then after 3:30, we'll talk to a resident of Porter Ranch about the fact that the Aliso Canyon gas fields are just going to get bigger.
And then I'm going to take another swig to celebrate Mark Ridley Thomas going to prison.
Yeah, that doesn't happen until November 13th, I think.
We got to get started now.
A lot could happen between now and then.
And then I'm going to go take a nap.
And then the Moist Line. Yeah. We heard there were a lot of callers this week. We'll see what they have to say at 3:20 and about an hour from now. We mentioned this, it was either yesterday or the day before, how people are apparently seeking out drugs that were really meant to treat people with diabetes, but they have the effect of helping you lose weight. Anybody know Ozempic?
Oh,
the commercials are everywhere.
All over the West Side.
Something else called Mounjaro. It's from Eli Lilly and Company.
Yeah, it's the same idea.
So the story in the Wall Street Journal, if you can believe it or not, is that people are going into debt or they're taking second jobs so they can afford to buy these weight loss drugs because a lot of insurance does not cover the cost of you procuring something like Ozempic.
There's another one called Wegovy.
Wegovy, I like that one, right. That's right, it's a sister drug of Ozempic.
These are all supposed to help diabetes. Right.
It
turns out a side effect is you lose weight quickly.
So as soon as people found that out, they talked to Tina Marie Porter. She pays $1,000 a month out of pocket for Mounjaro. $1,000. She's decided to take a second job. She doesn't look heavy at all in the photo. I'm not really sure.
That's the woman with the glasses?
Yeah, Tina Marie Porter.
She looks real skinny.
She does. Is this after she's lost weight? Does she need to keep taking this?
I don't know.
She's a 49-year-old director of operations. She takes on more assignments. She seeks odd jobs. She does whatever she has to do. Wow. She says it's life-changing, but I shouldn't have to pay because my insurance won't cover it. It's making me healthier. It makes no sense.
Listen to this. There's this woman, Jordan Jones.
Jordan Jones.
Her boyfriend is now working 12-hour shifts 4 days a week to pay for her $800 a month drug supply.
That's a nice boyfriend.
The couple is
cutting back on eating out. Well, that would help with your weight loss. groceries, and alcohol, that'll help too.
Maybe you should have started that. Cut out the eating and the drinking and then see how that goes.
Never go broke. Giving people the easy way out, if you can sell it somehow, this is the easy way out. Rather than doing the hard work of just cutting back on food and maybe working out a little bit, people just want a pill.
I am just waiting to see if there's going to be some kind of terrible side effect.
Well, there have been reports of side effects from these drugs.
But
Several people have been hospitalized.
But
those celebrities who went on social media to talk about the side effects?
Yeah, but I don't know if those were... a random oddball events, or I don't know if there's anything widespread, but I'm thinking down the road, we find out that, in about 3 years, your pancreas falls out.
Here's the most common side effect with Wegovy's nausea, which is 44% of the people. Well, that'll make you not want to eat, won't it? Diarrhea, 30%, vomiting, 24%, constipation, 24%, stomach area pain, 20%, bloating, heartburn, belching, or gas.
Ray took this, he wouldn't even know the difference.
Oh, see, this is what I meant. Some people have had gallbladder problems. I remember reading that. And some have had pancreatitis. Some have had some kidney problems. Yeah, see, that's when it gets really scary. Now, that may be a small percentage of people.
You have to take this forever? Or when you get off the pills, do you start bloating up again?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if this has been around long enough for us to know.
I told you, I know somebody, supposedly, I haven't talked to him directly, but... I heard from a friend of a friend kind of thing. 32 pounds in a month. And my first reaction is that healthy to do to your body, your system?
That is a lot of weight loss in a short time.
I mean, that's
And if you go back to your prior eating habits, you're going to just gain the weight back. So if you do stop the medication, it would seem that you're just going to get the weight back if you don't change your eating habits.
I mean, who's going to be able to pay $12,000 a year indefinitely for this?
I love the way they refer to it in the story that taking it for weight loss is off-label.
Yeah.
The drugs really prescribed for the diabetics to help control their blood sugar. And
This happens occasionally where it turns out there's another benefit to a drug.
Right.
And the physicians say, oh, well, it wasn't created for problem A, but since it fixes problem B, go ahead, take it.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at another story, and it does say that the drugs are expensive. The drugs can cause unpleasant gastrointestinal side effects. There is a small percentage of people who have suffered from a diabetic eye complication called retinopathy.
Well, it's meant to stave off bad diabetes. So if you're headed down diabetic road, which has terrible complications,
right,
this is supposed to save you from going there.
Going into debt for a weight loss drug. All right, coming up next, State Senator Shannon Grove returns to the John and Ken Show. The Republican from Bakersfield probably has something to celebrate. Her bill, Senate Bill 14, to go after the sex traffickers of minors, it crossed a big hurdle. It's not going to be voted on by the full assembly. And after passing the state Senate, it's pretty close to becoming law. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
If you took this, you would disappear.
Well, I do need to lose a few pounds, but I'm just going to stop stuffing my face.
Right, with vegan shakes. All right, Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.